You. You are the Ancient of Days, and you are the King of Glory. And we welcome you in this place, and we recognize that you are Lord of your church, and you're Lord of this place, and you're Lord of our lives. Father, you know each and every individual here, every soul that is attending tonight, Lord God. I ask that you would now come and manifest yourself whichever way you see fit, and we just welcome you, and we just worship you. And Father, I ask you to bring a word tonight, Lord, to use this vessel, Lord, to encourage, to strengthen, and to equip all those that hear it tonight, Lord God. And I just praise you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So this says, I have a word tonight that was kind of dropped into my spirit a few days ago, actually. And you know, it says in the scriptures, talks about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but the mighty, pulling down the stronghold. And I'm sure everybody in here has had some type of a message on the armor of God. And the Lord seemed to really want to really express to me, at least in this message, that sometimes some of this armor that we have, we don't really know how to use it. We think we know how to use it, and we apply it through the different teachings that we've had. And I just believe the Lord wants to go into a little more depth with it, with us tonight, because I think it's pertaining to things that are coming, because we have to be prepared. And as in all things, I believe that the Lord says in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. And many of you experienced that in your life, where you kind of have just kind of knowing that something's coming. And sometimes they're good things that are coming, you know, and God does some good things. But sometimes there are things that are spiritual in a sense and in the unseen realm that attack you and me and attack the Christians really all over the earth. And I believe that the Lord has prepared us. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that our weapons, you know, of our warfare are not carnal, but the pulling down of strongholds. But also he said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the unseen realm. And so I just want to go into tonight about two pieces of the armor to really go into some detail about it and to also maybe shed some light on it, maybe some things that you hadn't seen. But the scriptures have a lot to say about it, not just in the book of Ephesians, but in the Old Testament. And there are, in fact, some of the scriptures in the Old Testament give us information on how to apply it, on how to actually use it. And we know that when Jesus walked the earth, that he demonstrated, it says, you know, he said that, you know, follow my example in living if need be and dying also. He actually modeled for us the armor of God. He modeled all the gifts of the Spirit. He was our role model in everything that we follow. And that's why the Spirit of God is working on you, meaning he's conforming us into his image. And only you can determine how far you want to go with that. You know, you have something to do with how far you're going to allow that process to go. And that's why many times in our life, and I like that song that Richard was singing, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord, and he will exalt us, you know. And he is the one that is raising you and me up. So we have to make a determination in our life as we know about our mission and the things we've been sent here to do. But we have something to do with allowing that process of change and allowing us to be transformed into his image. And so we have to yield to that sometimes. But this is one of those lessons that I believe that you can leave here tonight equipped, but also to know how to apply it. Because it's one thing to talk and to teach about the armor of God, but it's another thing to tell you how to use it. Because it just, to be aware of it is just head knowledge, but it's something that, you know, we have to really walk out. And I know that each of us have our own battles in our life, and each of us are facing different things. And I believe that these two things that I'm sharing tonight, one of them really specifically speaks to, you know, us being prepared, but the other one is really gives us a good defense, you know. A lot of people in the sporting arena say, you know, you got to have a good defense, you know, in order to be successful and in football and those types of things. But it's also true in the kingdom of God that we've got to have a good defense. And I think that with me, at least in my own life, that I've learned something this year about the fact that things come upon us, that we have to have a good defense. And I feel like I'm just now beginning to understand it, even though I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and even though I've had all these different teachings, it's like all of a sudden it just things click, you know? And maybe it's just me, and maybe because it takes longer for me to get it, and maybe because I'm thick-headed at times. But the point is, you know, it finally, you know, we arrive at some kind of, somebody say amen out there, who was that? Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's go to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, chapter 15. It says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one." And that's an awesome thing. When you read, they talk about all the arrows, not some of them, all of them. And so the scriptures are really clear here on that front in terms of the shield of faith and what it can do. And the preparation of the gospel, and that word preparation means that you are being prepared for something, and you're being all prepared for a future event in your life, whatever that might be. But there's a preparation that you have to undertake. See, God is not going to make you learn anything, but He wants to lead you, and He wants to guide you into understanding His word, to be prepared for those moments when you encounter other people. And He will position you in front of other people, especially when you're prepared, because He can use you. Amen? But again, you have that choice. Are you going to be prepared or are you not going to be prepared? You have those choices, and you have to make that determination. One of the things I used to say a lot to my athletes that were really trying to be good and being Olympians and so forth is I told them, I said, "You're not very normal." And they go, "What do you mean we're not normal?" I said, "It's not normal to want to be the best at something. It takes a certain individual with certain disciplines to really want to be the best at something." And that's really true about us, because we have to make that decision. We're not normal, we're peculiar people. And I think a lot, and that's what the scripture says about us anyway. But I think there's some kind of there's a force inside of you, there's a fire inside of your belly, or you wouldn't be here tonight, that really has been pushing you and inside in terms of motivation, that you really want to become the best Christian that you can possibly be. You want to honor your master by allowing yourself to be transformed into His image. And that process is a process, but it's one that we all must be serious about and we must embrace. So the first thing here that I want to look at is that shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, when the Apostle Paul is talking about, and he's talking about the armor here, he's using the Roman soldier as his illustration. So it's important to understand that. And so what I did is I thought I should give a description of the shoes that he's talking about here. The shoes that he was using they were strong, heavy sandals with thongs to keep the feet in place. They were laced about halfway up the calf with leather thongs. And so these were the equipment that the Roman soldiers had, and you can probably have seen some pictures of that. It says they were a very important part of their equipment because it enabled them to march long distances at speed. This gave the soldiers mobility. It made them available to their commander at a time and a place where they were needed for battle. Let me say that again. It gave them mobility, and it made them available at a time and a place where he was needed for battle. So I want you to think about shoes as providing mobility or availability to your commander, and that would be Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to think about your shoes of the gospel that way, that it gives you the mobility to be able to move, to be able to go. And when you're prepared with the gospel, you have this, you have something inside of you that has equipped you and has made you mobile and available too to your commander. And one of the things that, you know, in World War II, when they were in battles and stuff like that, the soldiers were commanded not to take their shoes off, but to sleep with them on. Reason being, because in war, you know, which was very, you know, unpredictable, if they had to get up, they had to go ahead and go in battle right away. And it would take time to lace their shoes up and stuff like that would have taken too long. And so you can see the picture and the illustration that the fact that we have to have our shoes on so that we are ready at a moment's notice when the Lord calls on us, so that when we're out through our day and walking through our life and working and what things, the different things that we do, that we are prepared and ready. The shoes were called the preparation of the gospel. It speaks to be ready for something. We're obligated to have an intelligent understanding of the gospel to know how to get it to someone that needs to be saved. So preparation is study of the scriptures, memorization of the scriptures, the ability to communicate it intelligently, the gospel message, and that speaks basically of preparation. And so to have your shoes on, you have to prepare yourself. You have to pick up your Bible and you have to read it. You have to memorize different scriptures. You have to study it. There's so many things in the scriptures. It's, I'm going to call it a code book, but it is in a sense, because it just seems to me that every year there's something more. There's another revelation. There's never understanding. There's so much information in here that prepares us to be able to talk about the message of the Lord. Remember what Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. And so God wants to use you and me to preach that message to the ends of the earth. But we must be prepared. We got to be able to give every person an intelligent, you know, description of the gospel of the kingdom, of the gospel of peace. Paul calls it the gospel of peace. It's a gospel that produces peace in the heart and the mind of those who hear it and obey it. The gospel of peace is a gospel that produces peace in the heart and the mind of those who hear it and obey it. Now, you can only transmit something that you're walking in. And, you know, I've thought about that quite a bit. You can intellectually have an understanding of the gospel, but you can't really transmit it if you don't have peace in your heart. And I've noticed at times in my life I don't have some peace, and there's other times that I do have peace. But you can only transmit something that you have inside of you. And when Jesus stopped the storm, you think about it. He got up, and some scripture says he said, "Peace be still." But he got up when the disciples were crossing over the lake, and you know, and the disciples woke him up, and he's sleeping during a storm. I mean, he's the Prince of Peace. And, you know, and of course, you know, the devil probably caused the storm, because on the other side of that lake was the demoniac. And they were probably, you know, stirring up a storm to stop whatever. But when he got up and he stopped the storm, what was he doing? He was exercising and what was manifesting what was within him. And so we face storms in life all the time. They come our way. It says in the scriptures that, you know, the two houses were built. One was on rock and one was not. But the storm came on both the houses. And so we really want to have that gospel of the peace of God inside of us so that we're able to transmit it. Now, you could be standing in the grocery store and, you know, sitting there waiting to check out, and let's say there's a person right in front of you, and you could tell that they're struggling. In fact, you might even know that they're having a nervous breakdown, you know, and just sitting there, they're shaking and just having problems. And, you know, and God could call upon you to minister the gospel of peace to them. You know, so, you know, but when you get to them, you know, you can't just invite them to church, because, you know, that's not going to meet their needs. You know, that's not what they need right now. And then you wouldn't have your shoes on. So, you know, the person needs the gospel of the peace. And so if you're ready to transmit that, if you're carrying that. And the reason why I'm pointing this out is I want you to be sensitive, because this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is showing you that's going to come upon each and every person that can hear my voice right now. You will run into a person, I would submit to you, within the next 2 weeks that needs the gospel of peace. And so prepare yourself. You've already been told. See, you have works that prepare before the foundation of the world that you might walk in them. So this is a person that's already been prepared for you to meet, that you would share with them the gospel of peace. And by practicing and being prepared for it and allowing that to happen in your life, you'll be ready to be able to minister to them and lead them to the Lord. Amen? Now, one of the things in Luke chapter 10, as we turn over there real quick, starting at verse 3. This is when he sent the 70 out. He said, Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. And isn't that interesting? And also, when he first sent the disciples out, the 12 out, he said the same thing to them too. So isn't it interesting that because we're the disciples of the Lord, that we actually have peace within us that we can actually impart to someone's house? So you need to be aware of that, that you are carrying that. That's not just words. So you have that ability. And this is why you have to be prepared. You know, walking with the Lord in ministry is being sensitive to all this stuff all the time, being prepared to release the very things that you need to release to the people that you're in front of. You might walk into a business that needs peace. You might walk into a house that needs peace. You might come against situation, whatever it might be. But just know that that's with you. You carry that. That's from the Lord. That's the gospel of peace that resides in you. It's a very real thing. It's a power. It has the ability to be able to what? Stop storms. So I just want to encourage you in that. Now, let's go back to Ephesians. The second piece that I would like to look at is, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, as I said before, this shield of faith is able to extinguish and to defend every arrow, anything that the enemy can throw at you. So it's very, very powerful. And we know what faith is, and we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. We know that all men have a measure of faith. And we do know that faith seems to grow in our lives. We have more faith today than we did maybe 10 years ago. So we know faith is something that can grow within us. But you have to understand, too, that this is an opportunity when you exercise faith, when you're exercising faith, you're getting more of it because you're using what you got. And Jesus said that, you know, from him who has, more shall be given to them. So you have to exercise your faith. You have a lot of opportunities really right now in the body of Christ. And I'm ministering myself too. We have a lot of opportunities to exercise this shield of faith. There are things that, you know, we need to be protected from, but there's all things that around us too that need to be protected. So it says the addition, taking up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the shield of faith in this particular scripture, the Greek word there, is, I'm trying to think here, it's theros. It's T-H-U-R-E-O-S. And this particular shield, they have different shields, but this particular one, it's actually in the shape of a door. and it covered the whole entire body. It wasn't like one of those little circular small ones. You know, that's another type of a shield. But this particular shield was a Roman shield, and it covered the whole body. And they could get behind it in a way that when there were shit things being thrown at them and flaming arrows and so forth, they could get behind it where it actually covered their whole body. So this is the shield that Paul is using here. So you get a picture of that. When we go out, okay, so when we go out against Satan, if we cause him any trouble, you can be sure that he will counterattack. First, he will attack us, so we must have a shield that can cover us, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our finances, and he will attack any area that he can reach. If we can't reach us, he will attack those closest to us. If we are if we're a minister or we have a spouse, then he'll attack our spouse. You have to have a big enough shield to protect everything that God has made you responsible for, your own person, your family, and everything God has committed to you. I'm going to read that again. You have to have a big enough shield to protect everything that God has made you responsible for, your own person, your family, and everything God has committed to you. Faith is a protection for ourselves and also our provision. Recently, like before, I headed off to South Africa, but even any kind of situation where you're about to go into any kind of ministry or anything that you're going to do, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big thing like South Africa. It could be anything, okay? But anytime you go into situations like that, many times the enemy will try to attack you before the event. And it always seems to be that way. You know, sometimes in businesses, you know, where you have a business and you're entering into some kind of a thing and, you know, the copy machine breaks or this breaks. I mean, sometimes all this stuff can just be shaken around us, you know, and we think, what's going on? Is that a coincidence? We were expecting a shipment of wax the other day. And I mean, it was, you know, we were right, ran out of wax to make candles. You got to have wax to make candles. Well, instead of coming to us, which usually comes one day, it went to Minnesota. Now you can't make that stuff up. And then we call the place up. They have no more wax. So we have to wait for that shipment. I mean, it's those kinds of things start to realize when you get them in threes and fours and fives, somebody's messing with you. Amen. Has anybody ever experienced that? Or am I only one in here that's ever had that happen? You know, but, you know, in retrospect, you know, maybe the shield wasn't being applied, or maybe I wasn't applying the shield of the business or whatever that I'm, you know, over or cares over or whatever. Maybe we aren't applying the shield and we're leaving things open because we're not applying what God has given us. If that makes any sense. You know, they had to apply the blood to the door in the book of Exodus, did they not? God told them they had to take it and they had to apply the blood for protection. And I don't, and it's something like we have access to a lot of these defensive weapons, but I don't think we walk in enough sensitivity. At least I'm realizing I'm not walking enough sensitivity to keep everything covered. So I would submit that to you, that this is something maybe that you needed to hear tonight that might help you to fend off some of the things that maybe have been coming at you. Now, in the Old Testament, they had shields as well. And the Hebrew word for shield in the Old Testament is magen. It's referring to a smaller shield, but it was used for protection in combat. And it was used it's used frequently in the Old Testament as for God's protection. There's another shield also in the Hebrew. It's called shina, and that word refers to a larger, more body shield that covers like I just shared with you in the New Testament. There's also something called the Shield of David, which I find interesting, and that in the Hebrew there was a phrase for it. It was called the Star of David, and it's called Magen David, meaning the Shield of David. And you know, many times in the warriors, even today, a lot of the troops, and if you notice on TV, they wear the Star of David, and as a shield, as a symbol of a shield. Another thing that I wanted to point out, this is really kind of cool, is that the warriors in the Old Testament, they would anoint their shields with oil to keep the hide subtle and reflective. They would anoint him with oil and they pour the oil on it, which is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Let's go. I want to share just some scriptures to talk about the shield. And back in the book of Genesis, 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Now, we know that we the blessings of Abraham, because we're grafted in, are ours as well. And God had gave Abraham a vision and said, Abraham, this vision saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. That word Hebrew root is actually abundant compensation. So God is wants to shield us with abundant compensation. I think a lot of times we don't put ourselves in position in faith to receive the very blessings of God that are ours. And God does want to make us wealthy, but let me define wealthy. Wealthy is money and it is substance, but it's also the ability to be able to enjoy everything that you have. You can have a lot of money and have, you know, wrecked relationships and a wrecked life and all kind, and your kids are going. I mean, you know, a wealthy person is one that is able to enjoy and have the joy of the Lord in what they have. And so, but God wants to give us the blessings of Abraham. And so there, it's something that we have. And so that abundant compensation is actually a shield around us, because there's things that you can do with substance and the thing and the blessings of God that you have to bless others and live your life. Let's go to the book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory in the one who lifts my head. And when it says my glory in the one who lifts my head, that's one who that says that God is a shield about you. The faith, a shield of faith, is something that will lift you up out of sorrow. This is a good scripture to apply if you're experiencing any type of depression. That God is a shield around you, and He is the glory and the lifter of your head. You can, you know, these things are voice activated, taking scripture and saying, it is written that God is the glory and the lifter of my head. You're using that as a shield, and any kind of oppression or depression, you are applying that scripture and you're putting that shield up and taking those arrows of depression, and so you're protected. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as a shield. You have the favor of God. You have to understand that. That has to be, and that again, these things are operated by belief and understanding of the scriptures. But you have to declare that you have the favor of the Lord, and you have to walk in that favor. And it is a true thing. I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed how sometimes when you're out there doing business or you're interacting with other people, it just seems like you have favor? Or you're getting your car fixed or whatever it might be. I mean, the favor of God is on us. When God, you have the favor of God, it gives you a certain attitude. It gives you just a certain strength and a certain confidence. When the favor of God is a shield, and you enter into situations where you need favor, it is your shield. And you take that scripture and you say, it is written that God is a favor, there's a shield of favor around me, and you use it. You apply it to your situations that you're encountering. Are you in any situation where you need favor right now? Here's your solution. The Spirit of the living God is a shield of favor around you. In Psalm 7, chapter 10, excuse me, 7, verse 10, it says, my shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. Being upright in your heart implements the shield of God. It is a defense. Upright in heart. You are the righteousness of God. Your heart is one with the Lord. And you apply that. You are upright in heart. And you're in situations where we're all in situations where we need to understand. We need to apply that to our lives. You know, how many times do you go out and say, I am the righteousness of God? Maybe not too many few times you walk out of your house saying that. Maybe you need to be saying that. I am the righteousness of God. I am upright in my heart. There's nothing wrong with declaring these things, but this is what activates these shields that God has provided for us to protect us from anything that might come against us. That's why we need to prepare ourselves in the scriptures to be able to actually operate these things, because sometimes going out and just saying, and I bind and I loose and this type of thing, we're saying things, but we need God to understand how they operate, how they are released. How did Jesus do it when he was confronting the devil? It is written, it is written, it is written. And so you need to activate these shields by stating the very scriptures and saying it is written. But it's more than just an intellectual understanding. It is more than just something that's saying. It's a belief. And you can believe and you can understand these things because you've got a relationship. You have a relationship with him. And that is the foundation. It is the very springboard that gives you these abilities to move in the power of God. That is yours. It's your inheritance. It is your birthright. He went to the cross that we might have all of these things that he provided for us. What a blessing it is to have the shield of God. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There's a lot in that scripture, but you know, the other word there in the Hebrew, stronghold, is actually high tower. So the shield of God is your high tower. A high tower gives you a place of perception and a view of being able to see out over the terrain of what's actually coming at you, so that you're not surprised. Did not Jesus come out and said, who are you looking for, when they came to take him on the cross? Remember, he came out and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am he. And they all fell down. Nothing took him by surprise, because he walked in all of this. He showed us the shield of faith. He walked in all of this revelation, constantly being so one with the Father. And the Father was directing him the whole entire time. Do you know that the Holy Spirit inside of you can direct you how to use the armor of God in these scriptures? But you've got to be sensitive to it. It's one of those things that we wake up in the morning, sometimes we just get so caught up in life that we don't turn on. Amen? We've got to wake up in the morning. Same chapter, verse 30, it says, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. Now, I like that word tried, to take refuge in God, but knowing that God's word is tried, I mean, the way that speaks to me is that it works. It's already been proven that God's word works. It's been tried over thousands and thousands of years since the beginning of time. God's word has been tried, so you can take refuge in that, because it's already been proven, and it is a shield when you use his word, because it's already been proven. And that, again, what does that do? When you know something has been proven, and just in the prophecy alone, I was talking with Roger before this whole meeting. He was telling me about Israel and everything that's happened with Israel, and how the scriptures of prophecy have come to pass, and how the things that we might be seeing. The word has been tried. I mean, the things have come to pass. It's true. We can actually see the results of things that were uttered thousands of years ago that are happening and unfolding in front of our eyes. It is a proven thing, so we can take refuge in it. That is a shield. to protect us. So we can take refuge in that. Verse 35 says, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. The shield of your salvation. Knowing that we're saved. It's a shield because, you know, so many times, let's face it, things come out of our lives and you get to the place where, you know, this life, this world, you know, I'm not going to be in it forever. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I mean, just the fact that my name is written in the book of life, the fact that your name is written in the book of life, I mean, you know, come what may, I'm going to make it. And so, you know, what can the world really do to us? Not only that, all our loved ones are going to be there too. And so that, there's so much joy in that. But it's the love of God. And, you know, the fact that the love of God, that salvation and love to me is so tied together because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the scripture says the person that walks in love, the wicked one touches him not. So salvation and love is a shield to not even be touched by the wicked one. Psalm 20. It's actually 28. Verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. And with my song, I shall thank him. There's much in that verse, but I'm going down to the one that talks about, in my song, I shall thank him. When you were worshiping tonight, was anything penetrating you? Where was your heart? It was totally focused and on him. And the presence of God came and moved amongst us. Was that not a shield? The prophetess last week was talking about a sound. And sometimes when you get into worship and you get into music, there's a sound that the enemy is not able to penetrate. Why? Because God, what? He inhabits the praises of his people. He's a high tower. It is a shield. So using song and using worship is another way to activate your shield to whatever's coming against you. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So this is another way to activate the shield of God. So when you're being attacked or whatever, you've got some tools in your toolbox. You've got some tools in your tool belt that you can pull out, and the scriptures and the Psalms are full of it, and start applying these things. Because sometimes you need to apply the shield of God to quench all these darts that are coming at you. And to defend yourself, and to cover everything that God has given you responsibility for. You've got something that God has given you. And you have to understand that all of that stuff is something that you watch over all the time, and you take care of it. But you have the ability in the Spirit to protect all of it. But if you don't protect it, and you just leave it open, you're going to get attacked. And I will submit that there are many things that have gotten attacked because I just didn't think about it. Because he likes to distract us. But you've got a revelation. We can leave here tonight with a new revelation understanding and apply this and walk it out. And then share it with somebody else. Because other people need to know this because they just, well, I got the shield of faith. But they have no idea how to activate it. Psalm 84. There's so many scriptures on the shield, I never realized it till I got into this. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Walking uprightly is another way to activate that shield, but understanding this, that he is a sun and a shield. The sun represents life. It represents the power of God. It represents the beams. You know what it says in Malachi, that God would rise up with healing in his beams? It speaks of healing to me. That God is not only we're not only defense, but that shield has healing in it. Psalm 91. How many times do you release that psalm? I'd release it every morning over my children and myself and my wife and the cats. I use cats now because we had one, now we got three. They've multiplied. Verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. His faithfulness is. See, when we're not faithful, he is still faithful. And that's one of the things that I think that we all rely upon, because we've all prayed certain things and we're really waiting on him and we're expecting him. We know he's going to answer the prayers. And you're kind of like in a holding pattern expecting him. He's faithful. And it will shield you, because things will come at you to try to convince you it's never going to happen. Your God has abandoned you. You're no good. You know, you're nothing but a sinner. You know how the enemy does you? But he's faithful. So the faithfulness of God is a shield. Two more scriptures in Proverbs chapter 30. Actually, let's do Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 first. Verse 7, it says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those that walk in integrity. Walking in integrity in your life, with your interactions with people, your businesses, your work, and so forth, walking in integrity is a shield for you. You know, there's I don't know if any of you guys know John Lastinger, but I think he was running for a Senate race. What was he doing? House seat. And he pastors a church down in West Columbia. Is it West Columbia area? Casey area, whatever, that area. Anyway, as I saw on Facebook, his wife was mad because someone was smearing him. You know how politics are. And he's, if you know John, he's just a good man. He really is. I mean, I'm sure he's not perfect, but I've always felt like when I was around John Cena, it's a man that had a lot of integrity. And it's a shield for him, you know. And in the morning, I drove, and it was announced over the radio that he won. And so I sent him a text, and you know, I also made a comment on the Facebook that, you know, that the people are smearing him, don't know who they're messing with, you know. But his integrity, you know, was a shield to him, and he ended up winning it. And so we got a godly man that's going down there into the house. Amen. Proverbs 30, last scripture. It says that every word of God, verse 5, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And that just says it all right there. It says he basically, where is our refuge? Where are we running? Where are we going? That we're going to him, in him. He to take refuge in him. In him. We take refuge. And so I just want to encourage you that I believe that we're being prepared or being warned about things that are coming at us. But you have protection. The shield of faith is yours to operate. And you've been given information tonight that has given you some real keys on how to operate in it. But I would also ask you that as this revelation comes to you, as you operate in it and see how it works and you have success, that you would share this with a brother or a sister, because this is something I believe that we need to have in the days to come. Because we don't know a lot of times what's going to come on the earth or on this country or in the world, but we know one thing, this whole place is being shaken. And we know one thing, that we have an enemy that's absolutely out to try to keep the church down, because he knows that if the gospel, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. So that he can't stop it. It's going to happen. All he can do is try to delay it. And he does that by attacking you and attacking me and trying to keep us off balance. But I believe because we have the shield of faith and we are prepared with the gospel of peace, that we have a huge advantage over the enemy, that we will win the day. Amen? Because we take refuge in our God. Amen? Yeah. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. What a blessing it was to be in your presence. Father, I ask this word would go deep down inside of us, Lord God. And Lord, that you would even continue to explain it, Lord God. And as I planted tonight, Lord, I ask you to send those that would even water it, God. But also, Lord, it says in your word that you give the increase. So, Lord, I ask for increase. I ask that this word would just blossom and grow and spread, and that you would increase it from one brother to a sister, on and on and on, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for being in our presence tonight. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.